Yesterday, we played for you Defense Secretary Robert Gates holding a news conference talking about changes to the budget that's been on the mind of a lot of people in Washington and around the country as far as what the Pentagon should be doing budget-wise. One of the people thinking about that very subject is William Hartung. He's director of the New America Foundation's Arms and Security Initiative, and he testified to the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Terrorism, Unconventional Threats, and Capability last week about some programs that he believes could go away as President Obama talked about both during the campaign and since taking office. President Obama set the criteria of Cold War weapons we don't use, systems irrelevant to current conflicts, and Mr. Hartung is my guest now to talk about his testimony and what we heard yesterday. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Yes, thanks for having me.
What essentially did you have to say when you went before the Armed Services Subcommittee last week? What systems in particular were you talking about?
Well, I talked about a couple Air Force systems, the F-22 Raptor, the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, for the Navy, the DDG-1000 Destroyer and the Virginia-class submarine, and then I looked at missile defense and also nuclear weapons expenditures.
Now, one of the arguments that people have made in favor of keeping missile defense is that that system is what's necessary to counteract what we saw, for example, from North Korea over the weekend. And then there are some folks who believe that the missile defense system that was being worked on wouldn't really be able to do anything about a missile that, like North Korea, shot off anyway. What's your stance there?
Well, I think there's a couple layers of argument for why we can cut missile defense substantially. One is the North Korean test was ultimately a failure. They tried to get a satellite into orbit, and the third stage of that rocket fell harmlessly into the Pacific Ocean. And this has been the case with their tests going back to 1998 when they did a test, and there was a commission headed by Donald Rumsfeld that said, you know, if they keep working at this, they could have a ballistic missile that can reach the United States within 5 years. So here we are 10 years later, and it doesn't appear they've made any real progress. If they did, they would still need to figure out how to miniaturize a nuclear weapon and put it on a missile. They'd have to figure out how to make a reentry vehicle that wouldn't burn up in space. So I think they're probably 10 years or more away from a missile that could threaten the United States. I think, you know, in addition, I can't perceive a situation where a country like North Korea with a handful of nuclear-armed missiles would risk the end of its society to attack the United States when we have thousands of warheads that could be used in response.
As you you make a point there about the whole space element of the missile defense system that I think a lot of people have missed as this has been discussed since we learned about North Korea's launch, and that is the whole reentry process. Talk about that a little bit and how critical that is an element of the whole idea of that country being able to get something to actually work.
Well, to have something that can go through the atmosphere, reenter, go at as much as 17,000, equivalent of 17,000 miles per hour, you need very obviously hard heat-resistant materials, which are not that easy to come by and to shape into a reentry vehicle. But the flip side is, if they could accomplish that, they could also create simple decoys that would throw off any system we had. So if they got that far, which I think is a distant prospect, they could probably create a system that would be very hard to deal with if you had there's a guy named Philip Coyle, who was head of independent operation and testing at the Pentagon. He said, you know, missile defense isn't, you know, they talk about hitting a bullet with a bullet. He said it's more like trying to get a hole-in-one when the golf green is heading at you at 17,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have decoys, the green would have maybe 20 holes that looked all the same, and you'd have to pick the right one. So, you know, I think the whole issue of reentry, there's the capability, can they do it, and then there's the if they mastered it, how could we respond to not just one warhead, but a bunch of decoys coming with it?
Mm-hmm. Now, you write, once these cuts are made, the administration will have leeway to invest in diplomacy and foreign economic assistance, key non-military tools of security that have been chronically underfunded. And we'll talk about how your recommendations match up with what Secretary Gates talked about yesterday. We'll do that in a little bit. But I wanted to talk about your thoughts about where that money should go. Have you expand on that that quote a little bit for me?
Well, President Obama has talked about trying to double foreign economic assistance over about a five-year period. And I think that would be a good investment, simply because if he can do it effectively, you can help stabilize countries that then may not be havens for terrorists, or whose populations may not hear the appeal of terrorist organizations in quite the same way, be less likely to be recruited. Now, of course, you need a model that works, and I think there have been some good models working through non-governmental organizations, trying not to have big bureaucratic programs. So I think that would be more effective than giving huge amounts of money to the government of Pakistan, for example, which is a corrupt entity at the moment. But along those lines, I think if you could find a way to do it, the president's proposal for $1.5 billion a year for 5 years in aid to Pakistan, non-military aid, I think would be an important symbol of a changing relationship, that it wasn't just going to be a military approach in Afghanistan with support from Pakistan with armed attacks in the frontier areas, but that there'd be something else in the relationship for the people of Pakistan.
What is the total dollar value of the programs that you suggested to the Armed Services Subcommittee last week be discontinued?
Well, on an annual basis, it would save on the order of $35 billion. Now, in some cases, like nuclear policy, there may be a delay because the president wants to negotiate an agreement with Russia. He wants to have a test ban treaty, which might help us scale back our nuclear weapons complex. But the other ones would be fairly immediate in their impacts, and that's a substantial amount of money. I mean, our whole Special Forces Command spends about $6 billion, and that's much more relevant to the wars we're fighting than things like an F-22 combat aircraft. So I think that, you know, Secretary Gates has made an interesting beginning on trying to shift some of those priorities within the military. He hasn't said as much about the broader security frame and what might happen in terms of non-military tools of security, like diplomacy, like investing in alternative energy sources, like dealing with epidemics of disease, all things that have an effect on the security of Americans and security people around the world.
As I looked over your testimony and then watched again Secretary Gates's news conference, which I have plugged up on the in-depth page, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You can watch Secretary Gates's news conference from yesterday in its entirety there. As I looked over your list and listened to him again, I pictured you sitting at your desk watching with a smile on your face as he talked about some of these things, some of these changes that are going to be made budget-wise. And want to take a break and come back and talk to you about your reaction to what he had to say yesterday on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest on In Depth with Francis Rose is William Hartung, director of the New America Foundation's Arms and Security Initiative. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, talking to William Hartung, director of the New America Foundation's Arms and Security Initiative, about his testimony before the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Terrorism, Unconventional Threats, and Capabilities last week. And thank you again, Mr. Hartung, for being on the program today. It's great to have you on. As you watched Secretary Gates yesterday talk about the changes that the military budget will undergo for FY 2010, what were your thoughts as he started to talk about some of the same programs that you suggested just last week didn't need to be continued, you thought?
Well, I thought it was in some ways quite extraordinary. I mean, it's rare for an administration to cancel one major weapon system, much less three or four, and the kinds of scaling back of some of the other big programs. So I think most importantly, the termination of the F-22 program, after there had been a lot of rumors that maybe the administration wouldn't do that because of pressure from key members of Congress, because of the jobs argument. So I think the fact that they did that was, a sign that they're not going to be, cowed by the politics of pork barrel politics, by the process of pork barrel politics. And I think that'll give them a lot more flexibility in reshaping the military budget going forward.
I've heard two interesting theories come out of yesterday's news conference, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on them as an expert in this area. One of them is that one person I know reflected that it appeared that Secretary Gates was finally able to talk about a Pentagon budget that was in line with his priorities and his goals for the department, where up until now he was still kind of working under what Secretary Rumsfeld had put out there. Do you think that makes sense, or did any of that possibly come through as you were watching yesterday?
Well, I think the first change was that, President Obama, I think, has a similar set of priorities. But I think it was clear that Gates believed what he was saying and thought it through fairly carefully. He's more of a realist in foreign policy than neoconservative or more of an ideological take on things. And so I think a lot of this, I think, is his chance to express priorities that he may have held for some time, but he's got a sympathetic boss who's willing to back him up on that.
The other issue that people talked about considerably was the idea that, as you said about the political deal with the pork barrel spending and this big program has to be in my district or my state, is that by maybe cutting so many different things and shifting so many priorities at once, it will be much easier to at least maybe get one or two of them through without them being added on. Otherwise, it'll make Congress look like really the only thing they're good at is feeding at the trough.
I think that's right. I think there's a great advantage to making broader cuts. First of all, industry and members of Congress have to figure out where to put their main focus. I think the more they do it, the harder it'll be to say, oh, well, this weapon is different. You know, we actually need this,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a coincidence that it's made in my state. I think when that happens five or six or seven times, Congress starts to look like it's basically, as Secretary Gates put it, putting parochial interests over the needs of the defense of the country. And so I think that'll be a powerful argument for the administration, and I think it'll maybe limit how far Congress can go down the road of simply putting back a lot of the things that Gates has proposed to cut back or end altogether.
You know, it's funny. The two of the old definitions of insanity come to mind as I hear your comments on that. One of them is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I think that applies here, as it appears President Obama is trying to change significantly the way the Pentagon does business, as is Secretary Gates. And the other one is the definition of insanity is believing that this time it'll be different.
Well, so I guess there's the possibility of insanity on both sides.
Well, yeah, that way it could, or it could go either. Yeah, it could go either way.
I guess the results will be partly, how people can judge that.
Which kind of leads me to my final question, and that is, what should we be looking at over the next, say, 3, 6, 12 months as this budget process starts to play out? Now, Secretary Gates has said this is what the administration wants. Of course, it'll be up now to the two chambers to decide how they're going to deal with this, and there no doubt will be a lot of groaning. But what should we be watching for? Are there certain programs or certain members of Congress or any other particular icons we should be looking at as this process unfolds to kind of keep track of it as it moves along?
Well, I think probably the two biggest programs that might have a chance of getting restored are the F-22 combat aircraft and the C-17 transport plane. And so in that respect, for the F-22, you want to look at the Georgia-Texas delegations. Joe Lieberman from Connecticut, where the engines are made, has already spoken out. I think there was a group of them that actually sent a letter to the president before Gates had finished his press conference. And then the C-17 would involve particularly the Southern California delegation, and I think it will be important how Ike Skelton of Missouri, who heads the House Armed Services Committee, you know, how he views some of these requests by his colleagues. You know, that's where I would sort of cast my attention. Some of the other programs, it's more in the nature of a cutback or a reorganization, or we're going to see how it goes. And so it's a little harder to oppose that because it's not a definitive end of the program. It's a delay, it's a shift, it's a reconsideration. And it's harder to say, gee, you shouldn't reconsider this, as opposed to, we need this capability and you can't shut off the production line.